I think, was it yesterday we talked about Mark, the last, and I said that verses, those verses in the last chapter of Mark and the last verse were not in many of the texts. Did I talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing I don't think I mentioned or talked about was, even though that those are suspect, those verses, well, let's go there. So that
Mark.
Mark 16, or 17, or 15, or something. Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. Remember, I said that there's almost universal agreement from the scholars that those two verses are not in the better texts from documents they've found. But what they do, even though they're not, they weren't maybe necessarily the right words of Christ, they do show that the apostles in these later ages expected healing. It was a given. The book of Acts is full of them, of healing by the apostles.
Because that's what happened, right?
Hmm?
I mean, that's what happened. So then they stuck this in because...
Well, I don't know why they stuck it in. If somebody was trying to... You know, they used to have the deal where people would try to prove points and they'd add things, and that's what many of the false gospels are about. But anyway, in the letter of James, it shows, you know, the calling for the elders if any is sick. And the reason he used the word healings, gifts, plural healing, is that it refers to the variety of ailments, a whole raft of things possible. And the gifts were distributed among all, you know, whoever happened to be praying at the time. There was no one that was ever called a healer, because the gifts operated severally at the time. You know, from our experience here, it doesn't, you know, anybody can pray.
So there was no healing ministry.
There was no healing ministry. No. But the point is that whoever was a healer, it could have been any one of the disciples or any one of the members, they had no healing ministry. They had no necessarily official version or official office in the body. And there's this strange thing that healing is kind of, it's if you search all the words about it, it's conditional upon the faith of the recipient of the blessing. But it's also conditional upon the one praying for him. And it's implicit that the person that's being healed has to have faith not only in God, but faith in the efficacy of the person praying for him. And I know this sounds kind of convoluted, but remember, I think that most of the healings that were in the New Testament or what we would call psychological disorders. If you remember when we studied this a long time ago, 75% of human illness comes from psychological disorders. You're thinking wrong about whatever is going on, and so the illness is self-created. Now that's an incredible thing. And that's what we see in modern healers like Benny Hinn or all the rest of them. Because that you never see what's called, what Benny says there's going to be, a creative miracle. There is never an eye that was blind from birth that then sees, or a leg grows, well, unless you're W.B. Grant. But an arm grows, or something that where there's creative. They were...
Can I tell you an anecdote while you're doing that? Mm. We've got one incident where he and Crouch both, to this day, talk about this amazing, physically visible, creative healing that took place in a prayer service. Oh. And they describe it in great terms. And I could see the legs straightening and, oh, wow, wow. Well, we have the footage of what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's not what happens.
No, I know.
I mean, it's just not what happens.
I was called yesterday by somebody in Canada about Benny Hinn being in Calgary. I guess he's going to be there. Anyway, and he had talked to the Benny Hinn people, and they had tried to, he probably knew that they were going to call me or somebody like me. And so the guy was he'd been taken in, and he said, you know, Benny has said some stupid things, but he's always apologized for it. And I said, that's crap. Benny said, quote, I am speaking under the anointing of God, and whatever is under the anointing is true. And then he told a lie, or he saw people raised from the dead. He has it on tape, or you know, all these other garbage things they say. He's always trying, but the point of it is that the miracles are not organic; they're functional. The idea being that what we see and what we see a whole lot in the New Testament are illnesses that are sometimes called demon possessions, sometimes called whatever they're called. But the point of it is there's no question that whether it's in the Kundalini ceremonies in yoga or the Sufi Muslim ceremonies or in Hindu or in all religions, there's healing. You all understand that, right?
There's healing at rock concerts.
There's healing at rock concerts. And the
no,
point of...
I'm not getting that.
What? What aren't you getting? That there's healings in other religions?
Yeah, it's like... Now, are you saying that those are just psychological names for people?
I'm not saying that all the healings in the New Testament are psychological. But I'm saying that they're psychosomatic, I should say.
Yeah, I understand it.
You understand psychosomatic? Okay, psychosomatic means... What does it mean?
I don't know,
It's a physical manifestation of the psychological.
It's a physical manifestation of a physical manifestation of a psychological condition. Now, again, many of the miracles that are looked at or talked about in the Bible, there's no question that they are psychosomatic. There's many that are not. Many that are creative. Somebody blind from birth.
Like water becoming wine.
Yeah. And so what I'm saying is when it's talking about the gifts, plural, of healing versus, in a few minutes a few months probably, we're going to study the gift of miracles, they're two different things. The miracles are miracles. There's something that could not have happened by natural occurrence or by psychosomatic occurrence. But here, when he's talking about the gifts of healing, for the most part, they're talking about these conditions that plague all of humanity, probably today more than ever, and that they are at their root healed by not only faith in God, but faith in whoever is the channel for God.
Now, that's the premise of what you're talking about this morning right there.
Right.
Those two features.
Right. And that there's another whole raft of miracles that are not of that order, but the reason it's gifts of healing is, I believe, it's because it is of these, many of the of what's going on in the Bible are the curing, if you will, of psychosomatic illnesses. Now that's going to bother some people.
Well, even let's like psychosomatic is pretty specific, but there's even a broader thing where in the last 30 years that all the sciences all agreed there's this connection, mind-body connection.
Right,
where
right.
Everything is one thing, and so I'm thinking of like the psychosomatic stuff.
Well, psychosomatic
is like
well, for
him,
that to upset you,
when we were dealing with him and stuff. It's like
for that to upset you, you'd have to think erroneously that psychosomatic illness is not illness. It is.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether it's caused by the mind or a microbe. It's still illness. I mean, it's real.
Well, we know also from science that a physician's positive attitude can have tremendous effect on the patient. We also know that when the patient is under anesthesia, that they hear the words the doctor says, and there's all kinds of examples of. And so the point of it is that, in my opinion, when they're talking about gifts of healing, primarily they're talking about those conditions which were cured by the disciples and by Christ that were mental in origin, and they're dependent, and those kinds are dependent not only on a faith in God, but they're dependent on a faith in the charism or the personality of the one that's healing. And those are not called miracles. They're just called gifts of healing. And I hope that can cause you to see that the gifts of healing are first of all, they're not exclusive to Christianity. They're in all religions. And they're in rock concerts. They're in any place where there is certain crowd dynamics, where the latent powers of the soul, or the latent powers that man lost, are revealed. And I don't want to get into all that again, but
it's like you just, some things line up and suddenly there's
boom,
belief or faith in something, and you're no longer conflicted. At the same time, you know, if you're at a rock concert and that happens, it has no eternal significance.
That's
it's
right.
It's just something that happens to your body.
That's right.
Well, that's why a lot of these healings that take place at Benny Hinn's return when people go home, because they go back into the ways of thinking and the illness comes back.
Right, because there hasn't been a substantial change in the condition. There's only been a change in the, you know, they got a shot of something, yeah, because of the excitement of the crusade. And I'm not denigrating that. That happens.
Yeah.
But what I am denigrating is someone that markets that. And that's why I've said so often, if anyone says that they have the gift of healing, you should run from them, because the gifts of God should be given up at all times. You should never try to retain anything.
It should be exclusive to...
Is it always
a person?
Right, to a healer.
Is it always plural, gifts?
No, and that's what I'm talking about. This is what they're talking about here. He's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. One of the gifts of the Spirit is healing. And because of the charisma of the healer and the faith in God, then there's these psychological conditions that are healed. Everybody understand that? Everybody agree?
I think if Paul walked into a room, roaches would flee.
Probably. Okay, now, just from the standpoint, what happened? Why were there centuries when none of the gifts were operating? And why were there always, in some people and some individuals, the gifts have continued to operate? Now, the primary reason that the gifts of the Spirit stopped operating was because the asceticism of the doctrine that began to be preached. And that happened, you know, pretty early.
What is asceticism of the doctrine?
The idea that you're supposed to suffer, or they took the idea of suffering to the extreme. And it's the idea, like Luther, when he would go out and lay in the snow for hours, and the idea that you would somehow increase your acceptability to God by how much you self-inflicted pain. Huh?
Like doing penance.
Yeah, the same kind of thing. That's why repentance has gotten such a bad name, because repentance in English means to be sorry for. I'm sorry I did that. And that's why in our language, in our thought process, when we hear the word repentance, what we always connect to it is either penitentiary or punishment or penitence or something that has to do with our paying for by either words or suffering for our sin or for our mistake. And that's not what repentance means.
Like even doing a few Hail Marys.
No, the Hail Marys are a perfect example.
Yeah.
But they're no different than the person that says, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and tears. It's the repentant. It's called the Jimmy Swaggart syndrome. Somebody, you know, you're crying and, "Oh, forgive me." Well, that's fine, but that's not repentance.
Or, you know, your mind says you have to be bent out of shape for at least 2 days.
Right.
Before you can return to peace, which is the opposite of what the gospel says.
There's a great quote in that was attributed to this Melanchthon, who was a compatriot of Luther's. He tore Melanchthon out of the very jaws of death. And so the gifts of healing, no question, were operating in Luther. They were Justin, there was a lot in the early church, Father Justin, Irenaeus, Tertullian, Origen, all of those people in the early centuries of the church were the gifts of healing. Now, throughout history, Francis of Assisi healed, Luther healed, Wesley healed, the group called the Waldenses, Moravians, the Quakers, all had healing happen within their services. So it wasn't only at the Azusa Street revival that healing started. It's happened throughout the history of the church, both Protestant and Catholic. Okay? Now, unfortunately, the faith movement, if you will, that started at the Azusa Street in 1906, I guess, has given healing a bad name, just like it got a bad name in the early centuries because people started marketing it. Just as it got a bad name through the original word faith guy, Cerinthus, who said that the purpose of God's birth, life, suffering, death, and resurrection was so that you could be healed and so that you could be rich. And so, and interesting enough, this is an aside, I just found this out recently, but the Cerinthian doctrine that was so much an anathema to the early apostles, part of the Cerinthian doctrine was that Christ was going to return to the physical city of Jerusalem and set up a kingdom for 1,000 years. So that's part of the idea of it's that the kingdom come on earth instead of in earth. By the way, Benny Hinn's been teaching on the Lord's Prayer. I can't believe there's been several instances where he's teaching the same thing and that's with the last word that we've just written. It's like,
did you hear anything we needed to revise?
No. It's got.
What did he think?
You'll have to read it or see it or listen to it.
It reminds me of Simon, the guy who wanted to buy the.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gift. So let's put it to use. Let's make it a commodity.
So the just as the faith healing or the healing part of the ministry of the disciples and of the church got a bad name because of those guys in the early years, and then it again has gotten a bad name in our because of the stupidity of these guys that are marketing, like the tent revivalists and the televangelists and, you know, making all these unsubstantiated claims. Oh, God. The ones that really made it happen or gave it a bad name are people like the guys that, you know, that handle rattlesnakes or that say that the doctors are of the devil or that you can't take medicine, or, you know, on and on and on. And so that in the minds of people, that kind of, that's what's associated with healing.
Yeah, one of my good friends, his brother was, I think, was involved in a group like that, and I forget what state, but, you know, and they wouldn't take their kids to the doctor, and the, you know, the government had to come in and, you know, finally,
oh yeah,
you know, take the kids away from the parents because it was like, you know, just letting them die.
Yeah, there's all kinds of lawsuits, and there's abundance of evidence of the stupidity of Christians. But stop, if they just stop and think about Paul. Paul, who was afflicted with this terrible eye disease that made him just odious to look at, according to the early writings, he took with him the only known physician of the early disciples, Luke. And Luke, Paul chose, of all the possible traveling companions, Paul chose Luke, the physician, to travel with him. I mean, and that's been in the book since the beginning.
Was that because he could get him free drug samples?
Probably. Yeah. he got samples from the drug companies.
Well, what's the point of him taking Luke? What were you saying there?
He needed a physician.
Oh, all right. I thought there was something to do with the healing.
No, he needed a doctor.
Okay.
No, it's just, what do they say in the scripture about the, you know, people in need of a physician?
Ronnie, have you taken something this morning?
He took a walk.
He took a walk?
Yeah. He's all excited. He took a double.
Oh, he's doing. He's on a trip. He's going on a trip that doesn't cost him his bicycle.
As a matter of fact, man, this went checked out about it.
I wouldn't do that yet. Anyhow, the reason I wanted to spend this time this morning is to show that the gifts of healing have always operated throughout the history of the church. There's always been people. But I think that the gifts of healing and the bad name it's gotten shouldn't affect our understanding of it. And so when we gather together, if somebody is ill, they should call for the elders and pray. It doesn't even say pray. What does it say? You go to James 5. I'll show you something. This is good. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. The point of it is, you know, it's a given. It's not a big thing. And if our mindsets accepted the same thing that the early disciples did, then it wouldn't be a big thing. It's no bigger thing than the lawn needs mowing. And if somebody not feeling well, I'm going to call for the elders. You'll anoint him with oil and pray for him. And it's a given. It's not any. It's just as natural as breathing. But our mindset is so skewed that, you know, just think of the. I didn't make this up. It's at least 75% of all what we call illness is rooted in your mind.
I'm thinking about the fundamental truth of the doctrine that we embrace. When it's healing time, if you think you're the healer, then it's going to be tough because you have to work up your faith to make it happen. But if you understand it's the faith of Christ, then you're wiped off the map. And now there's another universe in operation that you can have such confidence in that it's just you watch it happen.
Right. It's just like breathing.
It's just like breathing.
It isn't anything special.
Right.
But we come into this with all these opinions on how it should be done, and this is what we should do, and or it shouldn't be done, or this doesn't exist, or whatever we think, then those opinions are causing us. That's a perfect example of how the template of our mind influences the mystery of God. That's why emptying is the only solution, because you can't have the right template. I used to use this example, like your mind is like it was floppy disks. I don't know what it is now, but your mind is like a 20-foot tall stack of floppy disks. And all of those programs have been written by somebody other than God. And so the way in which you have to operate is that you have to erase the whole damn thing so that God is on the keyboard, not you, and not anybody from your past, not your royalty in your past, not your heritage, not your color, not your young, not your old, nothing, except He is on the keyboard. And in your emptying of self, and you can't, you cannot empty until you've seen the stupidity of your gods, your value system. Because again, you will always, automatically, no one has ever worshipped a false god. No one has ever worshipped an idol. As long as you think it has efficacy, then you will continue to do it. It's only when you know that it doesn't have, it's not worth spit, that you can empty. But as long as you have the slightest confidence in any of these programs that you have hardwired in you, you cannot repent, because they are more important than God. Right?
Yeah, I taught on the woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites the other night. And until you can see that's talking to you and not those old guys, you won't get to this place to where you are able to repent. It can't happen.
Go to John. I want to show you something. Go to John 5:39.
Big John.
Big John.
It is talking mostly about old guys, though.
Well, John, if that's what you said.
That would be you.
5:39?
Yeah. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might say that you might have life. I heard on religious television a person use that verse as the injunction to memorize Scripture. How about went crazy? The better translation says, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you find principles of eternal life, but you fools, they testify only of me, and you will not come unto me.
Well, they were saying, like, you should do this.
Yes.
This is what you're doing.
Right.
But they were saying that this is what this verse was saying.
Well, they just stopped at the colon, yeah. They said, search the Scriptures. According to John 5:39, it says, search the Scriptures.
Oh, okay.
The only time you're commanded to search the Scriptures is to what?
See if these things
be true. If you accept them as true and you live them as true, then the Scripture is written in your heart by Him. He is the Scripture. He is the Word of God. Oh no, you've got to memorize. You've got to memorize 43 Scriptures a day. And then you'll hide the Word of God in your heart. No, you won't. That's crazy.
I was in a place like that.
Are you sure you're not still there?
You needed to remember. It was a good thing to rememorize Scripture so that you can be protected from
Satan.
Yeah.
Is rememorizing you double memory him? Or just memorizing?
Rememorizing.
Or rememorizing?
Memorizing.
Oh, memorize.
Memorizing.
I thought you said rememorize.
I may have said that.
I think you did. I think we should check the tape just to make damn sure.
Let's
take this whole portion out.
But it's... I want you to be able to say, Father, let me not shun anything that comes in my path. And let me not desire any more than comes in my path. Let me just live as abandoned in total dependence on you. Now, if you know, and again, I've said this so many times, but I must have prayed 3 million times to get rid of this pain. Paul prayed 3 times. Well, Paul's a hero.
He's more advanced.
He's a lot more advanced.
He had other problems.
I was thinking about this John 14.
Yeah, like being whipped,
being beaten,
being shipwrecked, being tossed at sea, being
putting up with 2 bit disciples.
Anyway,
execution, bad scribe.
In John 14, you believe in God, believe also in me, is tied in perfectly. Two points of faith, and he goes on to talk about in my Father's house are many mansions, but that's perfect because that's where you are at home and relaxed, comfortable, rested, abandoned, which is the perfect place to be for healing to happen.
Right.
You've abandoned all of everything and you're believing in God, believing in Christ, and anybody who's doing a healing thing, hopefully they would see Christ in that person.
Remember, Jesus said these incredible things. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, what he wants from his people is them to be able to say, if you've seen me, you've seen Christ. And so, you've got to see that the fruit of the Spirit is the personality of Christ. And he cannot be revealed unless you die. Now, I've heard it over and over again lately. That the fruit of the Spirit is the number of converts you have. That is just pure garbage. The fruit of the Spirit is the personality of Christ. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, mercy, faith. Against such joy, against such there is no law. Nothing can stand against the fruit of the Spirit because he fulfilled everything, even the natural law. Mind-blowing. Stop having opinions. Opinions are just idols. All of your opinions are idols made out of straw, wood, hay.
There's another saying to that too.
What? What? What's he talking about?
Opinions are like assholes.
I know what he's talking about.
Opinions are like assholes.
Take this part out.
Take this part out.
Everybody has one.
All righty. Anybody else? Everybody?
You're probably talking about this when you get to miracles, but there are healings that take place that you probably think you'd call miracles.
And they're not, the words aren't, I mean, there's three words that are used for healing in the New Testament. One is therapeu. One is ainama, whatever how you pronounce it. And the other is diazo. And they're not always translated. I mean, exactly the same. Sometimes this diazo is translated as delivered. Sometimes it's saved. Sometimes it's healed. In the same way with the other two. Made whole, whatever. But the point isn't the meaning, I mean, the little word differences. The point is that you would understand it so that it doesn't frighten you. But there are healings in the scriptures that are no question, and they're called healings, that are no question they're miracles because they're creative.
Yes. But you were saying that healings required the person being healed to have faith in God and faith in the person doing it.
Right.
But there are examples where it's not the case.
Right, where the example is it's just the pure grace of God.
A
but it may be in the scripture called a healing also. But it what?
Somebody screaming outside, little kid.
Oh.
Certain noises that some of us don't mind.
He's on Jim's thing this morning, Ellie. Ronnie.
Take it quickly, big guy.